It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
All right, thank you very much, Kid Rock. It is Thursday, April 25th. 2024. There we go. See what happens when you touch my headphones?
I know. Sorry.
Oh, man, your volume's killer.
Is it?
Yeah, my volume stinks.
Maybe we got the wrong mics.
No, we're good. We're good. You just need someone that can run the board. That's how that works. Chief People Office is here, Lake Havasu City Fire Department, with his deputy chief. Does that mean you're going somewhere?
Ah, Paul, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just building our team to serve this wonderful community.
Garrett Roberts is here, deputy chief, brand new deputy chief. Well, you've been here since March 4th, you said, right?
Yes, sir.
March 4th. And when he said he's not going anywhere, were you like, oh, man?
No, actually, we discussed this in my interview. I'm coming out to be mentored by him and learn from him.
Oh, wait a minute. Mentored means, does that mean... You're on your way somewhere. You guys look like you could be brothers.
I know.
By the way. For those people who know Chief Pete and they don't know Deputy Chief Roberts, it's like, wait a minute. I'm looking. He's got the round face. He's got the round. And they look like bodybuilders.
Yeah. So Garrett's a little bit bigger than me.
You guys eat at Nutrition One every day or what?
All the time. Great place. Are they a sponsor?
No, not yet.
Well,
not yet.
Maybe we should get them on.
I got to give you a plug because I'm standing in line at Nutrition One, and here's this big paw on my shoulder from behind, and I'm like, that's Chief Pete. I know that hand from anywhere. Not that we've held hands or anything.
No.
And he goes, I'll get this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So you bought me lunch that day.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Well, you know what?
I thanked you that day.
Well, you did. And you know what, Ed? When I first came here, this community, the support they have for public safety, I've gone to lunch with some of my command staff, and someone's picked up the bill. And I've never had that.
Wait, a random community?
Just random individual at the restaurant saying, hey, this is taken care of. And I tell you, it was just like shocking to me. And it's about paying that forward. That's what I love about this community is just the love that they give to other community members and just individuals. And I mean, I understand the fire department. I don't ever expect that one bit, but I tell you, it's just the appreciation they give you. That's why I love this community.
I've never done that for the guy behind me in the drive-thru, but maybe I will now that I have some gift cards. I got some gift cards re-gifted for my birthday.
But I still think it's just the gesture. It doesn't matter where it happens.
I know, Paul,
I appreciate you. You know, we came. Well, you already came back, but when you
2020,
when Dan and I started doing our show, and this has always been a great segment to be able to be with you, and you know, be able to speak out to the community about what we're doing for them related to public safety and how we take care of each other.
Speaking of the retired Chief Doyle, have you talked to him lately?
I haven't. His schedule is packed.
How does that work?
The thing is, I got to reach out to him.
He's supposed to be retired.
I know. He might be listening today.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
How do you listen from the Philippines?
Well, I don't know.
He's online, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Anyway, welcome to the show. And I'm going to go out of order here. You gave me a list of stuff, but I'm not going to go in that order.
Yeah.
Your brain's thinking, and I'm going to kind of throw you off here. So
sure.
Be ready. All right.
I'm ready.
All right. So with Deputy Chief Roberts coming here, why the move? Was it an opening that you needed to fill, or was it a position that you created?
So it's actually last budget cycle. We were looking at reorganizing the fire department, and that's when I had some retirements in the Fire Prevention Bureau. That's when Nathan Adler was, we moved him to be a fire marshal, because the fire marshal was previously a deputy chief of fire prevention and the fire marshal. So it was like having two roles. So what we did was just split the roles of having a fire marshal that would be dedicated to running the bureau and code enforcement, not so much code enforcement, just at least on the fire side, is inspections, plan reviews. And in our study where I was looking, we needed a deputy chief of administration to assist us with logistics, Station 7, our vehicle apparatus replacement program, inventory, asset management, assisting me with emergency management, because I have that slash title, you know, fire chief emergency manager. So it's just juggling all of these, and the span of control is just getting out of control, and this was a great position that we needed for the department to move us forward, especially with our expansion into medical transport, our training division, our development. So it's kind of just a blessing that we were able to get that and move forward with the deputy chief administration position.
So, deputy chief, can I call you Garrett?
Please.
All right, perfect. What is your background? What are your strengths, and do you have any weaknesses? I mean, I'm not going to say he does, because he looks like Lou Ferrigno over here.
You better
here.
Be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Lou. Good old Lou. Good man.
Right.
So I started the fire service in 2000. I was really blessed. You know, back then it was difficult to get in, and I had a great opportunity to get in and climb through the ranks. A lot of my career has been in the training division. I started very early implementing policies and procedures and developing training and curricula, and kind of just moved up through there. I started off in Tucson, down in Tucson. And in 2017, came up to the Valley, the Phoenix Valley. Excuse me, some people ask me what that means.
No, you're with friends in Arizona. We get it. No,
the
Valley, that's cool.
Went up to the Valley and started off as a battalion chief there on shift. And I was only battalion chief of shift for about 6 months. And then I moved over to training in EMS and slid into a district chief role.
Oh, wow.
So my responsibility was the East Battalion. In the Valley for Rural Metro Fire.
What was your level of education at that point?
At that point, I had a master's degree.
Oh, very good.
And I was in. It's a very long title. So it's what is it? It's a Master's of Leadership, emphasizing disaster preparedness and executive fire administration.
Yeah, they have all these majors now that are emphasis on. Yeah.
So that's where I was, and then I went on to get a second master's. So I have an MBA as well. And
very
I'm currently
good.
In the process of earning my doctorate.
An MBA, there you go. Something for you to strive for, right? Do you have an MBA?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a big deal.
No, it is a big deal.
An MBA is huge.
Oh, it is. And I and the thing is, yes, I have an MBA.
I didn't know that.
With an emphasis on human resources.
Does that come after your name, like comma MBA?
So no, the thing is, I don't play with the alphabet soup.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
You do, he doesn't.
Man, I got $100,000 with the alphabet. Come on.
Very good.
So no, and then I have also my master's in public administration too.
Oh, very good.
So
I have to ask you, Garrett, you joined the fire service in 2000.
Yep.
When in 2000? What month do you know?
July
okay.
29th.
So 14 months later, it's 9/11.
Yep.
How did that impact you?
It was interesting. So I was blessed. I got in at 18. When I got my job offer, I was still in high school. I hadn't graduated. So obviously very immature, didn't understand life and reality in the world. So I was actually in the fire department full-time, but I was in college when it happened. I was in a chemistry class. It shut down the world.
Sure it did.
And it was hugely impactful because that's where I really learned the camaraderie of the fire service. You know, I was big into football and sports, and that's what I loved. But 9/11 really tied it together for me in how everybody in the nation came together. You know, that whole thing of America, I can't speak.
America!
Unity and the development of family and putting all our differences aside and just focusing on that mission of healing and moving forward.
Wow, interesting. Where were you when 9/11 happened?
So at 9/11, I started full time in Opark in 1999, and I'll never forget that date. I was actually sick, and I heard on the way home, I was trying to get home because I wasn't feeling well, that a plane ran into the World Trade Center, and I was glued to the TV. And
we didn't know anything at
that point. We didn't. Yeah. And you know what? And I guess if something was going to happen, one of the best fire departments in the world is FDNY, along with Chicago. And
Havasu.
And well, 100% Havasu. But the thing is, I mean, talk about resource enriched. Right. It was amazing. And then when the reality hit in is when the second plane hit, and then when they started collapsing. And I actually went down to New York in October, and we attended funerals, and it was just to pay our respects. The fire service is a family, and it's a brotherhood and sisterhood. The thing is, it's just so important to pay the respects for, you know, that was someone's first day on FDNY, their first call.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you hear stories like that.
I never
that.
Really thought of that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's amazing how precious life is, and then this job, too, mm-hmm. how inherently dangerous it is. And, you know, I feel like we came together. Everybody came together. We united as one. And I think we never forget, but, I mean, it's, God, been a while, and I think time is something that never stops. And I try to say that to everybody, mm-hmm. is make that impression that we have, make it better, move on. But, you know, I'll never forget when someone said is, you know, we don't need you to come out here and dig in the pile. You need to go home and take care of your towns, your family. We have 6,000 other individuals that are waiting to do that. So we appreciate your help, but stay at home and protect the individuals that you need to protect. And the thing is, it really brought a lot of the vulnerabilities that we have. And when it comes to emergency preparedness, sometimes you try to prepare for so much and it just happens. Right. So, I mean,
yeah, well said.
Great topic.
I wasn't in the media then, but I was working in a surveillance room at one of the casinos in Laughlin, and security just... It turned on its head.
Right.
Everything was it was like lockdown mode. Wow. It was wild.
Well, that's, I mean, again, then Chicago. You heard Chicago was being attacked. Then L.A. Yeah. and Seattle. I mean, all the big cities were in high alert, and you didn't know what was happening.
No.
And it was, I mean, for those couple of weeks that there was no planes,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't hear it was just like scary. It was really eerie.
Yeah, that was one of my many media breaks. Chief Roberts, or Deputy Chief Roberts, sorry.
Call me Gary. I'm a real easy guy.
What I like people to know who I'm talking to, though, too. So what goals do you have for this position, being that it's been an unfilled position for some time, correct?
So, no, remember, we just created this position.
Oh, you just created it.
So
what goals do you have for this position?
So number one, my biggest goal is to provide the best possible service to our community members, and then supporting Chief's vision. That's my job, is to really implement his vision and moving us forward. But aside from that, to answer what you probably want to know, is really the development of our firefighters and our department, trying to find maybe shortcomings or weaknesses. You know, like Chief, 4 years ago, he was an outsider coming to Havasu, so he had great perspective of areas that we can improve on. You know, me coming from the Valley, I'm an outsider as well, so I see things from a different lens. So I want to identify maybe our Achilles heels, implement new policy and procedure and training to move us forward in the future. But again, really just aligning with Chief's vision and providing our best service to our community members.
And speaking of community, is there a community educator aspect to your job as well?
Yeah, so we do have our CTE coordinator, Gina. I don't know her last name, but Gina, she does a fantastic job.
Gutierrez. We just got Miss Gina.
Gina Gutierrez.
Yes,
right.
She reaches out. But, yeah, there is that piece to it. Because, again, the fire service is a servant-based service to our community. So we really go out. There's a lot of things that we get involved with. So I oversee the CERT team. which is a fantastic volunteer group, and Bob is the coordinator for us. And those are some of the hardest working individuals I've seen. They truly are an army. They support us. They love us. Their work ethic is phenomenal. And they're a big piece to us, too. They're an extension of the fire service and chief's voice in kind of getting that message out there. We have some other things potentially in the pipeline that, again, would get us out and reaching out to our community members. Mm-hmm. But we also have services. You know, we have car seat techs. We have our fire marshals that go out and interact with our businesses and community members. All kinds of services that we provide.
So everybody knows Chief Pete's story of before he got the position, he had watched, every city council meeting dating back about a year. How did you prep for this job? How did you prep to get this job?
So Chief actually put on a study. So the first thing I did is I went onto the website, try to identify who we are. Then, of course, all the social media, Facebook, TikToks, all those things. Well, actually, that was a lie. I don't have TikTok. Facebook and all the other.
Right. Yeah. But there are TikTok videos you can access.
Yes, but yeah, sure. My kids send them to me. So I just really try to find out who are we, what's our brand, what's our direction. I got on the association's website trying to see what they're about. And then Chief had put on a study, I think about 2 years ago.
So January 2023 when it was released, but we were doing it since 2022.
And that was about a 277-page document.
Whoa.
And it is an intimate detail of who we are as Lake Havasu City Fire Department. And I read that thing cover to cover, front to back, and then just took my own institutional knowledge and experience and then kind of just implemented it into my interview.
Nice. It's like your Jerry Maguire mission statement.
Yeah, it sure is a mission statement.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about, we've got a few topics to talk about, CTE testing and the graduates. We had one in here.
Jacob Aza.
Jacob, June. I wanted to call him a kid, but he's not a kid.
Yeah, no.
Probably kick my butt
if
I call him a kid. Also, there was a badge pinning ceremony. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
But I want to go out with Ohio players. I got a lot of music choices today from Garrett.
Yep.
And you, sorta. Anyway, I'm going to go out with some Ohio players and fire. I used to skate to the song in the 70s, believe it or not.
Love it.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. When you said Warren was good to go, I'm like, I like this guy. You hired the right guy.
Thank you. Well, you know, it was a team effort. So when we went through the hiring process, we had our battalion chiefs, members of the association, my other deputy chief, Jason Sillo, our fire marshal, and it was a group effort.
You're killing my billboard vibe right now, man.
Oh.
No filibustering during the billboard. But you're good.
I thought this is our show.
Oh, Uncle T, it is your show. It's actually a listener show.
It is.
Yeah. Show is listener driven. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Patio Paradise, also by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Older than you.
Yes.
Is that older than you?
I'm only 47.
Wow, really? Yeah. I'm 13 years older than you.
I know.
Dang, that's sad. All right, ask about Salmon's Superior Maintenance Plan. You know, I think I'm going to build my arms up to about your size, though. How's that sound?
I appreciate
that. Like Popeye. All right. And by Blonzy Steakhouse, steaks are just the beginning. Don't forget about their Duck Jeep on May 4th. That's their next car show. And we stream live, and our show archives are at KNTRtalk.com. Speaking of listener-driven, I haven't told you this yet, but Dennis Prager and Dana Lash, the Dana Show, which is on at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1 a.m., Prager's down to like number 49 in the top 100 right now. Or it's called the Talkers Magazine Top 100. Dana's up to number 5. She used to be like 13 or 15, and she's taking a big jump. And it's not based on popularity. It's based on how many markets they're in, how many listeners they reach. So we're asking listeners still if they want Dennis Prager to remain in the 9 a.m. slot after Brian Kilmeade, or if they want the Dana Show in the 9 a.m. slot. So we would have a female in the mix, right?
Oh, nice.
Exactly. So anyway, it's all tied up right now. I don't want to say how many votes for each, but it's all tied. It's a very sticky wicket.
Who's going to be the tiebreaker?
I don't know. Probably Greeley.
Oh.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
It's his candy store.
Yeah, it is.
So there you go. All right. You want to talk about CTE testing?
Yeah.
Graduation?
Well,
how many kids are in the program
so,
right now?
Students, I want to say, we, and Gina, I hope I get this right, I want to say there's 12 students currently in our CTE Fire Service program. Just got their results. They have state testing that they take, and it really is the objectives. What they're doing is testing on what we're teaching them in class, and there's a minimum standard, and I'm happily to report that this is the second year in a row that we have had 100% of them meet the minimum standards. And that is just a testament to Gina, the high school, our partnership, the students that are in that are successful. And it's just amazing. I look at it, we started this roughly about 3.5 years ago, and I couldn't do it without the school district and the city having this partnership, looking at our further development. Our homegrown program is to breed our own. I'm excited about this because I want to expand it. I want to expand it, and I'm in talks that we take this to the next level.
What is the next level?
So the next level is the emergency medical service aspect of it.
Oh.
And that's just trying to get partners into it with, even Riva Medical. Our partnership is to enhance that partnership, and let's start recruiting from the high school and giving them that career ladder of working through the certifications that we need so they are viable candidates for employment here in Lake Havasu.
How do you teach the empathy component of being a firefighter, though? I'm going to ask Garrett that.
Okay.
You're dealing with people who are probably having the worst day of their life up to that point, losing their house, possibly a car fire, possibly losing a child. How do you deal with the empathy portion as you're teaching, fire science?
So that's a great question, right? And what I feel is the best approach is connection and relationships. Realistically, like, what are we doing here on this planet if we don't have relationships and connections as human beings?
Sure.
And again, the public safety realm is that. We are servants to our people. So it's really just kind of educating our youth, and in fact, some of our more salty dogs, if you will, and bringing back the focus to what we're really doing and identifying, hey, man, or young lady, this is a human being. Is this your mom? Is it your grandma, your dad? And,
sure.
And make that emotional connection and say, it's only 15 minutes of our life. Maybe we've seen this 15 minutes a million times, but this is their first time. And we're showing up, like you'd mentioned, the worst day of their lives. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be a beacon of light for them. So that's just kind of really just have a one-on-one conversation and pull on the emotional heartstrings, if you will.
Yeah, we go through the same thing in the media. You're there on scene and you get a little jaded. I don't know
if you've been, and
you kind of have to
put
yourself in their shoes.
Absolutely. There was a point in my career where I was very jaded and callous. But what helped me realign and focus was I left the field and I went into the training division. And getting off of that daily grind of running the calls on the trucks up at 2 a.m. all the time and being tired, you just got to take little pockets of breaks. And then teaching. And really seeing the impact on our community members realigned me and focused me.
Do those guys in the station houses, do they understand administration, and does administration understand what those guys are going through in the station house, vice versa?
I hope they do. And we try to communicate that message. But most of us, all of us, have been on the line before.
Yeah.
I started as a firefighter paramedic. I ran shift. I moved up the ranks like they're trying to do, and they should understand. The only thing is sometimes they feel that maybe we're against them, and we're running a business, and that business is to serve people. And the thing is, it's about accountability. I'm held accountable by my boss, which is the city manager. And the city manager has a boss, is the council. So we have individuals that we report to, and the ultimate people that we report to is our community.
Mm-hmm. I'm smiling because I'm thinking, you know, back in my day, we used to have to hand crank that pump to get pressure out of the line, you know?
Well, and the thing is, but look at how the fire service has transitioned. And it's a general generation transition, too, of who's coming into. And they are not the salty individuals. These are individuals that are educated. Mm-hmm. They're technology driven, efficiency, but they have a different outlook on, you know, what it is and what the service is offering. There's a lot of things benefit wise that have reduced over the years because of certain situations.
Are there firefighters in the Lake Havasu City Fire Department that are legacy firefighters that their father, their grandfather?
Oh, yeah.
Is that very prevalent?
Yeah. At our badge pinning yesterday, Cameron Witt is a son of Battalion Chief Jamie Witt. And his grandfather was there, and he's like, he's a fourth generation firefighter.
Nice.
You know, and that's where it is. That's why the CTE program is so important, is because – there are some people that just don't want to get into fire service, and it's been generational, and they're gone. That's why we need to make sure that we give everybody the opportunity to experience this and see if this is something that they would love to do. And I never consider this a job. It's a career. It's a passion. And the thing is, I also stress this, and I didn't stress this yesterday because I try to, give different message, is just don't do the – don't do the time, do the work.
Okay.
And it's so important, is that you just don't do the time just to get to the end and retire. Is have that impression and do the work. Enjoy it. Be passionate about it. Once you lose some passion where it's just a grind, you know what? You have to start looking at other opportunities. Is this something I want to do? And in our organization, there's so many rooms for advancement now because of the individuals that are retiring. But I need you to have the education, the knowledge, skills, and competency to fill those roles. Right. It's not just because you have the time. You need to have the experience, the education to move up through those ranks.
I got you. So you can always go to a smaller market media radio or television station and never get vacations.
But at
least you guys get the breaks.
They get the breaks.
You know, you were talking about grind.
Right.
And I tell myself, how many people do this?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like being a firefighter. How many people actually do what you do?
But here in Lake Havasu, you're not a number. You're a name.
Okay.
So the thing is, you go to Phoenix, you go to Chicago.
Oh.
The thing is,
you're a badge number?
You're just a number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like my brother. My brother just got promoted as lieutenant. Scott, congratulations on your promotion. But he's just a number.
Where?
In the city of Chicago.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So the thing is, here you're a name. You're a name, and we depend on you. And the thing is, and I've said this very many times, is firefighters, police officers, they're occupational athletes. I pay them to perform, and I need them to be at the top shape, but the knowledge, again, and skills to have to provide the best level of service for our community, because our community deserves it.
Okay, who's the better trainer, the chief or the deputy chief? My money's on him.
Man. Oh, yeah, come on. We've already arm wrestled. We know who won.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Nice. Be careful. You should let him win, by the way.
That's how we determine who's buying lunch.
I got you. Little Bo and Warrant, I'm going to switch bands here in a minute, but I had to hear Down Boys, right?
Yeah, you have to.
All right. Fire Chief People Office, Deputy Chief Garrett Roberts, our guests. It's all Lake Havasu City Fire Department today. And tomorrow, it'll be Mojave Community College.
Oh, nice.
We can talk about your collaboration with MCC when we come back.
Who's going to be on?
Don't know yet, but probably James Jarman.
Okay.
And not sure who he's bringing in.
Nice.
But it's also known as the Bighorn Blast Podcast.
Oh.
On their website.
Well, I'll be one of your listeners.
Yeah, we have a lot of connection here with Radio Central and Mojave Community College. There's a lot of connection, especially this fall with the brand new soccer program.
Nice.
Haven't announced that yet, but we will. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. little Courtney Love and Hole. And you like this song, right, Garrett?
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
I do believe there's a conspiracy theory with her and Kurt Cobain.
Oh, you subscribe, huh?
I got the tinfoil hat.
Not sure. I saw the Kurt Cobain documentary. Have you seen it?
It's fantastic.
The one where his mom said he just wanted to stay in his room and make enough money to do drugs?
Yeah.
That was his mom? Anyway, after that, I didn't really buy into the whole Courtney killed Kurt
theory. Yeah, there's a whole novel out about it.
Or hire somebody or whatever, but I don't know. I don't know.
It's just fun to keep the conspiracy
alive. He was just broken.
He was
broken, for sure.
Yeah.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Pretty sure my brother from another mother is over there tonight, Hollis Googe, on bass. Just tell him Paul LaVie said hi. He always calls me Paul LaVie. Paul LaVie, come up and sing with me. I don't know. I don't think he knows my name has an O in it. Also, Mojave Community College, by samsguns.com. Also, SunPower by Esme Electric, by Doritas Plate, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006, and ZMI Mobility. You heard of these guys?
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. It's like ZMI, like TMI, off-road mobility scooters, ramps, lifts for pools and vehicles, car access swivel seats and stair lifts, ZMI Mobility over there in that same plaza, 900 Lake Havasu Avenue North. It's 911, actually, and right next to City Maytag. And don't forget, it's all about local here. Buy local or buy local. You worked in a small town in Tolleson.
Yeah, Tolleson.
Right? Is it the same attitude there? The shop local attitude?
No.
No, that's interesting.
Tolleson is very industry driven. Some of the largest distribution centers are in Tolleson. So there's really not an opportunity to shop local. There are some mom-and-pop shops, but those are like real heritage-type restaurants and situations. So that's cool. But as a whole, I mean, you got the largest Costco distribution center there, you know, all those other facilities.
Amazon,
Tyson.
That's where they're starting the drone delivery in Arizona, is Tolleson, and some surrounding communities.
Yeah, they're very forward-thinking. But it's a very diverse group.
Are we getting, what's the story on the new ambulance? I mean, I've heard that we are getting a new ambulance, correct? Is the fire department in charge of all of that?
So, we are getting three new ambulances.
Three now?
So,
okay.
Well, no, the thing is, we just received approval this Tuesday for the third ambulance. And on the 23rd of April, we approved for two ambulances. So this is for our partnership with River Medical and the Lake Havasu City. We're, I want to say, basically 30 days out. I want to say hopefully it's sooner, but to receive our certificate of necessity.
So the city buys the ambulance, but River Medical uses
how does that all work? Let's. The thing is,
I'm just going face value off.
I'm
assuming.
No, you are assuming.
Yes.
You know when you assume,
uh-huh.
right?
I step into that pile a lot.
So the thing is, no, we are River Medical's CON holder 94, and then Lake Havasu will have our own CON, which is a limited CON, that we're going to run two ALS ambulances out of Station 1 and 2, and River Medical is still going to operate within their city, and they're going to designate two ambulances to the city, basically separate. All right. Our focus is community-based ambulance transport service, which means is the closest appropriate unit is going to respond. So now the city is getting into the medical transport provider, and we're going to know that we at least have two ambulances here 24/7 from the city. They're separate, but we're partners together in regards to we're working together what's best interest for patient outcome, enhanced transport, and we help each other. We have redundancy in the system. We have two separate agencies or are working together. So we can work and meet the demand for the city. So the city, we own and operate our own ambulance service underneath the Arizona Department of Health Services CON certificate process.
Okay.
So we have rules, we have regulations that we have to follow, just like River Medical, but we're doing this together. All right. So the thing is, these are our own city-owned ambulances.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like Desert Hills Fire, when they back you up on a fire that happened at on Palo Verde.
No,
you bring them in. I'm switching to another topic. Trying to be the king of segue.
I know, but the segue, I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
That is giving temporary aid for resources to assist us with that emergency.
Okay.
This, the ambulance is different. It's closest unit responding, but we'll help each other out. Sure. But we're both separate, and we both have the right to provide transport. The city is just within our boundaries.
Okay.
So city limits only.
Let's talk about Desert Hills.
Yeah.
I always read in the press releases, or usually, that they're doing the pickup work for the fire department when you're out on a call.
So let's not. I don't like the term out. Do pickup work?
Okay.
We're
civilian talk.
Yeah, we're working together to say when all of our resources at it or a particular incident, because it requires that, they're assisting us for any other demands that we have.
Okay.
Just like when Desert Hills has a fire, we will actually assist them with resources to help them put out their fire, but we also still have units in our city that are taking care of the demand there. So it's that mutual aid agreement that we help each other when our resources are running low.
Sure.
And whatever it's required. So again, it's really a partnership of working together, and with the ultimate result is providing that service to our community. So
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, so we went out to the break talking about MCC a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the CTE program runs at the high school, correct?
It does.
Is MCC or ASU part of that at all?
So I'll say they're our next feeder into the process of getting certifications. What's nice about Arizona and the community colleges, they offer all the certifications as firefighter 1 and 2, your EMT and paramedic, for you to fulfill all the requirements for an employer to hire you. It just depends on what we're requiring at the time. At this time, Lake Havasu City is requiring firefighter paramedic. So you have to have those certifications before you can apply for our position. There are some times when I've shifted where I've just asked for a firefighter EMT, and that will send you to paramedic school. So when we send them to paramedic school, we want to send them to our local community college because they offer that program, and we work with them to create that pipeline for us to create individuals that are looking for a career. And then hopefully they ride along with us, they get experience, and they're like, oh, you know what, Havasu's a great fire department to work for. That's where I want to work. Our ultimate dream is to become a destination fire department.
Okay.
It is. I mean, I think every chief looks at that, but I'm...
Destination as in lateral moves?
Well, no, not even just lateral.
For other firefighters?
Well, just for individuals that want to come work in a positive, progressive fire department that offers an all-hazard, community-mindsetted, and you're a name. You're not a number.
Okay. You just raised a few antennas
sure,
out there in the
sure.
radio audience when you said the word progressive.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, this a conservative radio station. What does that mean? A progressive
one that's always looking at improving and continuously improving the services that we deliver.
Okay.
That's my definition.
Literally
of progressive.
Okay.
Well, it's not just continuing doing the same thing
and expecting
different results. Totally. I get that. It's just keeping up with trends in the fire service to provide better levels of service to our community. I mean, you have to say, look at what we have done with our CTE program, with our medical transport program. These programs, it's so easy to say, but it takes years and data and studies to bring them to implementation.
You know, there's a saying the fire service is 200 years of unimpeded progress, and us as Lake Havasu City Fire want to be the progress. We want to be on the cutting edge of technology advancements of what the science is saying. You
okay.
know, science and evidence-based research is what we want to progress as a department. One of the biggest things I can't stand is when firefighters say, well, we've always done it that way. Well, why?
Man, I hate that term.
Yeah, it drives me bonkers.
From a marketing standpoint, I really hate that term.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, of course, Desert Storm Street Party today.
Yes.
Right? Starts at 1, I think. Should they be worried if they see you and Garrett walking you know, up McCulloch, looking at the boats and what are you guys looking for, right?
Well, the thing is, we have already been out there.
Oh, you have?
And the thing is,
were you checking for anything?
Well, the thing
fire
is,
fire extinguishers?
Well, I say extinguishers. It's actually access points, because we still have, the structures around and the people that we have to protect.
Absolutely.
I think, one of the most important thing, and it's through the city manager's office, and Anthony Kozlowski does a great job with our special events, and that's where we work as a team. Fire, police, public works, to make sure that we have an event that is safe for our visitors and our residents, even though sometimes it can be a little inconvenient, but we know this time of year, Desert Storm, we welcome them. It's a great event. Have fun, enjoy, be smart, but respect our city. Okay. And that's what I love, I mean, seeing the boats when they're coming out. I go and I tend and I dream, and I know that it'll never become reality.
Yeah.
So the thing is,
if boat, the term boat, right?
Yes,
that's an acronym. Yes, if it stands for break out another thousand,
yes.
How did they apply to that?
I know. God bless them.
It should be a BOM.
Yeah.
Right? Break out another million.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
But have you ever seen an event like that, Garrett?
No, actually, this is going to be my first. I'm pretty dang excited. It's not even comparable, but an air show would be the closest thing for me.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Exactly. All right, we talked about improvements in that, you know, making improvements, striving to improve, do better,
mm-hmm.
right? Just make things better in the department. What can we do better in the Lake Havasu City Fire Department?
Yeah, no, well,
is that a bad question?
No. Yeah, I'm saying we might need another hour. But
uh-oh.
The thing is, I'll take this.
You got 3 minutes.
So in the 3 minutes, we're working towards continuous improvement. I think that's the thing, is just looking at an outside perspective is how can we be more efficient? How can I increase or decrease my response time to get to that scene quicker?
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
Does AI play a part in that? I've heard the AI is going to help first responders.
I think AI, we got to be careful with it because it's still in the development stages.
Yes.
And very close, Paulie, not saying you do this, but it hallucinates. Right. What I mean by that, it makes up stuff that it's grabbing everywhere to make it sound like it's facts.
You know, it's much like your phone, right? When you're texting and it autocorrects, and that's definitely not the word.
It's taking the
good.
That's a good analogy.
Well, the thing is, it's hallucinating.
Uh huh.
So
it's making assumptions and trying to piece it together.
Yeah, that's the old me. I don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But I think technology is really helping us out with our automatic vehicle location system. We actually are looking at how we can look at our alarm processing time when someone calls 911, our turnout times, our en route times, and the thing is, Havasu is not on a grid system. I mean, it's a spaghetti system.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it's not line of sight. Line of sight might take me 2 minutes to get there, but drive time, it'll take me 10 minutes to get there.
Architecturally, it's like Paris. It's called a network layout.
Yes.
You have grid, you have rotary, you have network, and there's a couple of others. But it's the shortest distance from point A to point B, and taking into account there's a wash that you have to go around.
Exactly.
That's Havasu.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I always compare it to Disneyland because the one that created was C.V. Woods that created Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Very good. It's complex, but it's unique. You really can't compare us to a lot of cities.
So has he got you into rotary yet?
Actually, I'm working towards that. We have discussed it, and I'm getting it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't recruit for Kiwanis.
Well, I'm getting free recruitment. If Rotary's a great program, and the Monday Club is phenomenal. So, but
actually, I'm joining the Silent Witness Board.
Yeah, you mentioned that before.
And we've got somebody from Buckskin Fire. I believe the chief in Buckskin Fire is coming to join us at the Silent Witness Board.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
So that'll be nice company, along with Mary Lou O'Connell.
Cool.
She's going to be there, too. So anyway, Garrett Roberts, welcome to the community.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
If
Deputy
I could get
Chief.
A minute, though, I'll be quick.
Go ahead.
I want to give a shout-out to Jeff Kemp. He's one of the finest battalion chiefs at Lake Havasu has ever put out. And I want to say thank you to my wife, Nikki, for listening today.
Nice. Yeah. At least it's not the Jeff Kemp that was the quarterback for the Bills, right?
Yeah, correct. this is the finest
congressman
BC,
or former congressman
Havasu's
Kemp.
Put out. Yeah.
Right. All right. Very good. So you enjoyed it.
I did. I loved it. I hope I get welcome back.
Well, we haven't lost anybody yet.
No.
So there you go.
Well,
no, on this show. So I'm going to play one for you from the Valley, right? The Gin Blossoms.
Oh, fantastic.
Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Fire Chief People Office Chief and Deputy Chief Garrett Roberts. Thanks for being here, guys.
All right. Thanks,
Paul.
Appreciate it. All right. Back with more in a moment.
Hey, jealousy.
everybody. Welcome back to Speak Out. All right, on tomorrow's show, like we said, Mojave Community College. They'll come in for some updates. And, of course, this is the Big Horn Blast podcast, we're proud to say. And on Monday, again, if you're buying those drawing tickets for PACE, Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education, we're doing the drawing right here between 11 and 11:30 on Monday. And then Dr. Chad Kingsley, he's the Health Department Director. He's leaving on Tuesday. Tuesday's his last day at the county. But we're going to have him on the phone on Monday. And then I'm really excited for this interview. Host T.G. Lafredo of KRMC's Focus on Your Health. He's got the voice, man. And he plays drums. We're going to have a great interview. I think he's going to turn around and interview me, actually. He does a really good interview, folks. If you haven't heard Focus on Your Health, it's on this Saturday at noon, right after the news, right here on KNTR Talk. Okay, I'm going to go to Hannity now. Turn it over to Karate Man after news and a short break.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.